Hey everybody, Shane Presley with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight Studios at Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard in St. Louis, Missouri. Check out GaslightSTL.com. Get on there and schedule yourself a tour. Come out and check out the beautiful facilities they have there. Top of the line gear, it's just a nice place to you can come out and see Cree Rider Family Band there August 17th, Wednesday night, recording a new album. You can hang out in the bar side of Gaslight and watch through the window as they record a new record. It's really a unique experience, and it's a lot of fun to be involved in as a fan or as a musician. So check out GaslightSTL.com. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and get involved. Also want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop, 4191A Manchester Avenue. They are currently in the middle of moving, so they are leaving the Grove and moving on to something new, bigger and better. So keep an eye out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram also for them. Find out where they're going to be moving on to. But until then, you can still shop online 24/7 over at musicrecordshop.com.
Hey guys, we want to tell you about an awesome show coming up August 27th at
the Old Rock House
with the Old Souls Revival,
the Daisy Ad,
Mount Thelonious.
The cover is $8 at the door, and we hope to see you guys all there. It's going to be a really fun night, and there may even be a video involved.
A podcast is kind of like a—it's like a radio show that's not on the radio; it's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
We're Traveler, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Woo! Woo!
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
I've been losing sleep to this again. Just like last time said I'd be fine, and now I'm stitching lines into my broken skin. Fix me up with something strong, and then tip me over, watch me fall into another useless state again.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with the guys of Traveler. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
This is cool.
We're 3/4 of Traveler. I'm Jordan Hageman. I'm a lead and rhythm guitar player, background vocals.
I'm Lyle Schmitz. I sing and I play guitar.
And I'm Landon Boyd. I play bass and I do backing vocals.
And our blind, awesome drummer is not here right now. He's in Chicago right now. Yeah. He's actually legally blind. That's not a joke. Wow. We don't just make fun of him. He's actually legally blind.
Huh.
But he's like an incredible drummer.
Yeah?
Like, he's one of the best drummers we've ever met in our entire lives. But
that's
he's
crazy.
We always make fun of him because he's legally blind.
Have we said his name yet?
Oh, it's... Sorry. It's Alex Kennedy, but we call him Kenny.
Yeah.
Or Kenzo, basically.
Yeah, that...
Kenwa.
I mean, I'm sure he's heard about it, but, like, you look at guys like... Stevie Wonder, and like, I mean, let alone he's known for keys and things, but the guy's an incredible drummer too.
Oh, shit,
like,
yeah, him and Jose Feliciano, Ray Charles,
right?
All blind musicians, amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I look at that and like, you know, I'm fully capable of doing it all. I just have no talent to do it, and it's like, but it's like I really admire a guy who didn't let his eyesight get in the way of doing it. So
the thing about Kenny is like he can see. It's about like 5 feet in front of him, right?
Yeah.
I don't know the details. I'm not Kenny's eyes,
but he's legally not allowed to drive.
He just can't drive.
He can see the drums. And that's what really would matter, because he's a fucking amazing drummer. Like, he's a great... He's such a good drummer. He's probably one of the best drummers I've ever met.
I seen him run into a stop sign down here in St. Louis one time. We were walking up to a show. he had some girl with him, and we were walking right across the street, and he just runs right into the stop sign and face first into the pole.
In his defense, I've done that as well, and I have perfect vision, so... Yeah.
I think you were just drunk.
I wouldn't doubt it.
So, I mean, I kind of know a little bit, just, you know, checking up on you guys, and Jordan kind of give me a little background, but you guys, like, I guess you guys played out quite a bit, took a break or broke up, but now you guys are back with some lineup changes. And
yeah, we essentially there was a couple different lineups for Traveler and
about nine.
Yeah, about nine. There were a couple different lineups for Traveler, and right before we broke up, we played a cover show at Pops where we played as the Wonder Years, and then we wrote a bunch of songs for a full length, and that never got done because we decided
to finish the full length.
Yeah, we pretty much finished the full length, and unfortunately, a lot of those songs will never see the light of day. But I think honestly the stuff that we're working on now is just 10 times better. The EP that we're working on is just, it's, I think it's light years better than the stuff that we did before we broke up.
Yeah.
But this is like Traveler 4.0. I mean,
yeah.
It's like the best of the best. The best of the best of the Traveler lineup is now together, and we are now like 100%. You know, in force, like working on everything that we want to do, you know.
Yeah,
in that time off, we definitely all grew a lot. Jordan graduated college. Landon's been off touring with a whole bunch of people. Kenny played a whole bunch with Play the Hero, and he just got done touring with
metalcore band, A Promise to Burn.
I didn't really do anything. But still, there was a lot of growth throughout the band, and that definitely reflects in the music. It's coming from a very different place.
Very different. It's
much,
much more
less, mature. Much less like, hey, this is what All Time Low did, so let's do it too. And more of like,
this is
learning how
at.
Music is actually made and then implementing that.
I definitely think Something Blue is indicative of where we are as people at the moment, and like certainly becoming of where we are in the future. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So that's the EP, right?
Something Blue. It comes out August 10th, and we are actually going to debut the track Disappear here, which is the final track on the EP.
We need like some of those like reggae air horns, you know, like a Rock Paper Podcast exclusive. Like,
we're debuting it here on Rock Paper Podcast, Disappear Here, which actually, yes, in case those who are into literature, yes, it is a less than zero reference for the Bret Easton Ellis fans. It's a book that Bret Easton Ellis wrote called Less
Jordan
Than Zero.
I'm Jordan Hageman, and I read books. Everyone should know I read books.
The way that we wrote this song is I wrote the riff, and I came up with the idea of the song like in the middle of Florida, driving to my last family vacation of all time. So I'm like 22, so like my family was like, hey, let's do our last family vacation of all time.
And then you're out of the family.
And then I was reading Less Than Zero, which is the first book by Bret Easton Ellis, and I was reading it, and I was like, damn, I feel really shitty about this. And I was like, I texted Lyle and like sent messages to the band. I was like, I have like an idea for the song and like stuff like that. And we ended up using the riff, and like as soon as, like 2 days after I came back, we ended up recording the riff and turning it into a song. Lyle and I wrote it like a whole day, and it turned up being like our favorite song on the EP. And it had a lot of it is like reminiscent of the book, just like a lot of complacency and like isolation and stuff like that. But through Lyle and I's our own lens more than the book itself, but like just a reference to it. And Lyle definitely, I mean, Lyle can talk about this more than I can, of course, but it's weird too because both of us were on the way to Florida and we both like wrote a lot of the stuff in Florida, so it was cool that we had a lot of the same imagery when we were writing the song.
I have a really weird relationship with Florida, actually. I wrote the whole last EP too in Florida.
That's true.
All the new stuff on that EP, at least, because half that EP was just shit that I wrote when I was 12, and I was like, I gotta get this out of my brain.
That's true.
But yeah, I don't know. There's something about, maybe not necessarily Florida, but the beach that really, like, soothes me and lets me think enough, I guess, to write music. But yeah, that is a weird coincidence I didn't really think about, but... yeah, the song though, definitely, I think it's the only song in the record that is 100% newly written. A lot of the stuff that we talked about with like that old LP that we wrote before we broke up, a lot of what this EP is kind of like a weird Frankenstein's monster of all that. We just listened to all the songs, we're like, okay, so what is the stuff we like?
Yeah.
And the answer was not a lot of it. So we took the stuff we liked and kind of meshed it together, and that's what this became. But Disappear Here is the only 100% new thing, and because of that, lyrically, I kind of wanted to sum up what this EP was about and where we were going. So it's a lot about why we broke up, the feelings that we had going through it, and where we're headed. And I think lyrically and musically, it's much more indicative of where we're going than where we've been.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. I think it's more of a looking forward than looking to the past. And I love this song, and usually I hate everything I do. So
usually I hate everything I do, too.
I hate everything I do, but I really do love this song. It's really important to me, and a lot of it has to do with just where Lyle and I were when we were writing the song. And, you know, it was a lot of... Lyle and I met each other, actually, in high school, in, like, theater. In high school,
because your dad was my football coach.
That's true. Like we grew up together, and like we became musical partners in high school. And
that sounds dirty.
That sounds dirty. It does. But working on Disappear Here reminded me a lot of late high school, early college for me, when him and I were working in separate projects, but like recording stuff together, and him and I would just trade ideas and all the time, and just like really, it was like our super creative time together, and then. When I was not an original member of Traveler, actually.
None of us were.
Yeah.
No one in the band now was in the band when it started.
Huh.
It's a weird kind of, like, Frankenstein of members, but...
We should just rename ourselves Frankenstein.
I'm pretty sure I helped pick the name, though.
Lennon, none of us picked the name.
No.
Adam DeGeer picked the name.
That's true, and he wanted nothing to do with Traveler.
I wanted nothing to do with that name.
Before Traveler even started, or you guys were talking about doing a show, and you guys sent me you said, what name do you like better, this one or this one? And I said, this one, and I sent you guys...
That's true, you definitely helped.
I sent you a really cool way to type the name.
True.
I was like, that's cool.
It's really weird. Traveler started as...
strictly pop punk. Right?
Yeah, my senior year in high school, what happened is my buddy Adam had gotten a group of guys together to play their school's Battle of the Bands.
Right.
And the band was called Earth Wind Fernandez, based off our drummer, Christian Fernandez. And he's like, hey, dude, we need a singer. Can you come sing? And I was like, yeah, I guess. I can do that. And we played it, and we had a lot of fun, and we were like, so let's just keep it going. Let's keep doing this. And Adam was like, okay, so we need a name because Earth, Wind & Fernandez is terrible. And we were like, yeah.
And too much of a rip-off.
And Christian was like, I like it. But we were like, ah, Christian. So we started voting, and it took like 3 days to even come up with the names. But it came down to Traveler or the Here and Now.
Yeah.
And I came up with the Here and Now, and Adam came up with Traveler. And I thought Traveler was the stupidest name I've ever heard. I fought so hard against it. And then, like, the day we were going to vote... The guitarist from 4 Year Strong came out with a side project called The Here and Now, and so I lost by default. And I'm so glad. But then, yeah, so...
We were locked out with a pretty good name.
That went on for, like, 2 weeks, and then they were like, ah, no, we're not going to do it. And then... So I kind of took the name Travel. I was like, shit, I got it already, so I might as well keep it. So I took the name Travel, and I kind of made it a solo project. And then...
And that's when Lyle and I started really recording together a lot. I was in a band called All Night Diner, which was like a... indie, like strictly indie rock group that was very much, because of the vocalist, I was the guitar player and like multi-instrumentalist, it was very much a ripoff of Modest Mouse. And I was the only one trying to like inject my own shit into it.
Right.
But that was when Lyle and I started working together and starting like a big like collaboration together, and him and Traveler were Traveler was an awesome thing before that, and I was just a fan.
Yeah, I mean, at that time, then it went to being me, Sam Blow, and Luke Burns, two of my best friends in the world. But I think Sam was in it more for just the girls. He didn't play an instrument. He was just like, I'm in the band. And we're like, so do you play like bass? He's like, yeah, sure, I'll play bass. We're like, but do you play bass? He's like, no. And we'd go places, and he'd literally just be like, hey, so what's up? And he'd talk to girls. He'd be like, so I'm in this band called Traveler. You should check us out. And I'm like, you didn't do anything, Sam. And it was a good time. But eventually, I finally was like, okay, so let's get some people who play instruments. And I hit up Landon. Actually, I think you hit up me. I posted like a thing. I was just like, hey, I'm looking for people. And you're like, hey, I'm a people.
We were talking with Via the Void was...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because I used to shoot.
That's when we were talking. And we always wanted to do something one day. We just never did until...
Via the Void was a thing because it was all...
me and Luke.
Concept or about like space. Because I went to film school at Webster University, and that's what I graduated with, is a film production major and a business minor and psychology minor. But I used to shoot the video, like studio updates and stuff for Via the Void back then, because Lyle and I used to like record stuff together and stuff like that, so I used to shoot just the videos for him and all the studio updates. So yeah, Via the Void was totally like a space like rock project for a while.
Yeah, it was cool. It was all based off Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So yeah, but that's kind of what was going on, because it was me and Luke doing Via the Void, and then I had Traveler at the same time.
Yeah.
So I guess that's exactly what happened. I was talking to you about maybe getting involved with that, and we were like, but should we keep Via the Void or Traveler? Because we're kind of doing both at the same time. And you said keep Traveler.
Yeah.
Because again, I was like, for whatever reason, I was like, this name's dumb.
Always fighting that name.
But the name has
always
fought
the name.
But then I finally.
It's like, all right, we don't like it either.
Finally got Landon on board, and he brought Kenny with him, thank God. And also, my good friend Sean Langell was in the band, and we finally had a legit lineup. And then that failed too. And then, and here we are. So.
Yeah. Well, then. You guys played for a while.
We played with bands such as Public, at
Downtown
one point,
Fiction.
The Downtown Fiction.
Oh, both of those shows were so fun.
And then, and I believe we played the first show Traveler ever played was a cover show as All Time Low.
Yeah.
No, we played the Public show first, and then 2 days later we played the All Time Low cover show.
And then you guys played with the Downtown Fiction, and then I joined the band.
And then we did the Wonder Years, and then we broke up.
And then we broke up. We started writing the full length LP, and then we broke up. And then we were in a band called, what was it called? It was ripped off of
Bella Muerte,
which is ripped off of a My Chemical Romance song.
We were in a band.
Yeah.
I did hand quotes.
We wrote like some songs and that was it. And then Kenny and I and another guy were in a doom metal sludge, like stoner rock band. And then Lyle texted me out of the blue one day. Like Lyle and I kept up together and stuff like that. I was graduating. It was literally actually my graduation day. like the ceremony. The ceremony had just gotten done, and I looked at my phone, and there was a text from Lyle and said, "Hey, like we need to get Traveler back together. Like, we made a huge mistake." And I was like, "I totally agree. Like, let's totally get back together. This means a lot to us both. Like, blah blah blah. Let's get Landon back. Let's get Kenny back. Let's do it right. And like, let's do like a Traveler like 2.0, 4.0 at the
9.0
at this point." To just like pick all the best
thousands,
pick all the best parts of Traveler and put it together, and that's where we are now with Something Blue, and then we got the Redux EP, and we got a show with Thank You Scientist, and some further shows and stuff like that. So that's kind of the history of the band, I guess. The tumultuous history.
Thank you for purchasing the audiobook of our
Thank you for sitting through that shit. Holy shit. Oh my god.
Hey, it's all up. I was thinking though, back when you said you said songs that you wrote when you were 12 and you just had to get out there, and like made me laugh because I was thinking about, I went to Wayback Point Fest just a bit ago, and I saw Eve Six there, and They were all right. They had some technical difficulties during their set, but they still sounded pretty good. And like, but anyway, they said something along the lines like, this song sounds like it was written by a 17-year-old. It's because it was.
And oh yeah, totally.
Like, you know, just because like and they went into that Inside Out and stuff. So like, but it's just crazy to think that, you know, I don't know, the song's been around already for 15-something years, and they're still singing it, and it's like...
It's crazy to think about, but actually one of the main songs off of the Redux EP called Did You See Me Catch the Lamp?
I've been trying to kill that song for like 3 years.
No, dude, it's
really... I hate that song. It's got every pop-punk cliche you can imagine in it.
I've been hanging out with Lyle since 2010?
I don't know.
2009?
We're not married. I don't have the anniversary.
I've been friends with Lyle since 2009. And he was in a band back then, and that was the first incarnation. That was when I was in a band called If Tomorrow Ever Comes, which is my high school band. And we used to go to their shows. Remember that show at that old abandoned church?
The Melvin Theater.
The Melvin Theater. But this song called Did You See Me Catch the Lamp is actually on our Redux EP, and it's like the best version of that song that we could ever... I've heard the song since 2009. Let's just fucking put that way.
Somewhere there's an acoustic recording of my high school band, Right Me Wrong.
oh my god!
Playing an acoustic rendition of that song that we're now recording for like the fifth time,
like,
and putting on a new record in 2016.
Put it in perspective. It's 2016. We've been hearing that song since 2009,
and I hate it. I just wanted to go on record for anyone that
well,
might
thing is that
like
people
that song
fucking,
that I hate it.
People love that song.
I know, and I don't understand why. One of the first phrases in that song is I hate this town, and
that's so cliche.
And it's the thing is
so washed up.
Exactly. Like, I'm trying to think of the words right now. I've tried my best to forget them. I don't know. But yeah, it's just the most like cliche. I wrote that song listening to JC Ray by All Time Low. And basically what I did is I just took the guitar part and I played it backwards, and then I had a new song. And that's what that song, it's a total ripoff of everything.
It's evolved though. Like, it's not just
you're right. Now I play it with delay.
It's a lot more evolved now. But like, yeah, that like literally I've been hearing, it's 2016 now. I've been hearing that song. I've been hearing Lyle play that song since 2009.
Yeah.
Like, that's
the worst.
It's interesting to hear the development of that song. But it's cool now because like we have much more of a different like a mind frame and also influence now.
Oh yeah.
Than when we did when like Lyle's first started making music, and I started hanging out with him, and he started recording music.
When I started making music, I used to just rip off Fall Out Boy and All Time Low, and now I rip off Brand New. So,
and like my band, If Tomorrow Comes, was like a Brand New Blink-182 rip off band, totally. And when we were in high school, so it's like the best of both worlds mixed into one. But like, honestly, we joke around a lot, but like, a lot of our music now is like us taking our influences and totally making it indicative of where we are now.
Sure.
So it's cool.
I say growing, healing, and rebirth probably is the big thing right now.
Easily,
we're definitely growing all as musicians. We're growing together as friends. The healing is from, you know, getting back together, healing, putting everything back to where it was. Rebirth is putting us somewhere that we weren't there, and now we are now. We want to be somewhere in the future. but growing, healing, and rebirth is definitely going to be our mindset here.
Yeah, definitely.
We should have a slogan. We should have, like, a jingle and do commercials and stuff.
But, like, yeah, I definitely agree with what Landon said. The rebirth is huge because, like, putting together this lineup was very important because, like, it's like, the best of where we are at now.
Right.
And I think it's the best of what we could... easily what we can, like, create and come up with. But, yeah, totally. I mean, now we're playing... about to book shows and stuff like that.
Sure.
It's terrifying.
Release EPs and stuff like that. And also, I mean, we released that free covers EP the day we announced that we were coming back, and we were all kind of terrified of how much notice we got from it, and people were like, hey, play this show, and we were just kind of scared.
I'm pretty sure like half of our listeners right now think we're just a cover band. Like the last two shows we played were cover shows. We just put out a cover EP.
Yeah.
Like I think there might be people who are genuinely surprised, like, oh my god, they made this?
Yeah.
This isn't a cover?
Like, people probably are like, hey, you released that cover EP, but like it was cool like that we got enough notice from that cover EP, which is weird. Like,
we ran out of downloads on Bandcamp. 200 people downloaded that EP in the month.
That's true.
Before the month.
That really surprised me because I didn't think anybody would honestly care. I really didn't think anybody would care.
It was so fun to do, though.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun coming up with the songs to cover because we were like, hey, what do we want to do? We want to do a brand new song, a Fall Out Boy song, and a Foo Fighter song. Like, this, let's just have fun with it. Let's pull it like some nostalgic heartstrings, you know?
Yeah. Landon wants to say something.
And I think if it wasn't for Bandcamp, we wouldn't know that 200 people downloaded it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Thank you, Bandcamp, for letting us know when people download it.
Yeah.
People don't really tell us when they download it. They just, I think they keep it to themselves.
Right.
It's like a...
yeah,
like a guilty,
tell us when
guilty,
we're doing a good job.
It's like a guilty pleasure. Like, we like Traveler. I can't tell no one.
Yeah.
I don't
because we got buddies in like bands like Secondary, Lobby Boxer, and like Life Without and stuff like that, and City of Parks and stuff like that, and like the dudes in Life Without are awesome. Like, they gave us shirts and stuff like that, and
true,
you know, they were
awesome shirts.
Yeah, seriously, if you haven't, like, this is a horrible shameless plug, but like seriously, if you haven't bought the Life Without shirts, like literally, I'm looking at one right now. They're so cool. The design is awesome, and also they. It's like really high quality Gildan shirts, but anyways,
yeah. You're welcome, Life Without.
These are awesome shirts. They're awesome bands, stuff like that. They play Barn Fest and they play at Metal Gear and stuff like that. So they're a cool band.
I didn't know you could run out of downloads on.
You can run out of free ones. You can pay to get more, but we're all poor, so
yeah.
We didn't think anybody would really care, honestly.
Yeah,
so
that's
we didn't
the thing.
Think
like,
it would run out.
We've been saving like the buying downloads and stuff for our EP, and then when I got on one day at the airport on the way to Florida. And I got an email from Bandcamp like, guys, you're about to run out of downloads. I was like, what the hell? It's covers.
I was
if you
want
to listen to Everlong by Foo Fighters, go listen to the Foo Fighters. Don't listen to us.
But yeah, surprisingly, that people really.
I mean, I appreciate it if you want to listen to us, cool. But
yeah.
we're not Foo Fighters.
I'm not going to complain at all. But yeah, that was cool. I was very surprised. And I'm happy that people are liking it
for sure.
So, but
the all original EP will be coming out
August 10th.
And
yeah, Something Blue, which we released the track list and the album art the other day.
True.
And that'll be up on iTunes and
Spotify.
Bandcamp
and Bandcamp.
All those digital platforms. You guys going to make physical copies too?
We're going to do some CDs for our shows.
Yeah.
We're not quite ready to handle the just physical demand of like people ordering them yet, but like if you come to our shows, we'll sell them.
So like September 27th at Foo Bar.
Yep. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, we're
with
playing
Thank You Scientist.
We're playing with Thank You Scientist, awesome band which we love. They were signed by the lead singer of Coheed and Cambria, Claudia Sanchez.
Yeah, I think last time they rolled through town, they were with Coheed, right?
Yeah, they were playing with Coheed. Yeah, I actually was at that show. They were playing. It was Thank You Scientist, Circa Survive, and Coheed and Cambria, which is amazing. Yeah, that's such a good show.
I wish I'd
go. I'm a huge Circa Survive. Anything that Anthony Green does is amazing, and I love Circa. I've loved Circa Survive ever since I was like 13 years old, because when I was a kid, I grew up on literally everything my father and my mother listened to. So it was like Billy Joel, Black Sabbath, Eagles, Led Zeppelin, Merle Haggard, stuff like that. Until like this one famed weekend, I still talk about.
Where five I bought, minutes ago.
Yeah, like, I talked to them about this. I bought my first CDs ever. It was Coheed and Cambria's Second Stage Turbine Blade, Blink-182 self-titled album, and, oh shit, what was the other one?
Three Cheers?
Oh yeah, it was Three Cheers, Pursuit Revenge by My Chemical Romance. So,
I shouldn't know that.
So yeah, that
That's
was...
how many times you sold the store, probably.
Literally once. But yeah, like totally. We're super excited to play with Thank You Scientists at Foo Bar. I've only played at Foo Bar once. I know you played at Foo Bar, and I've played at Foo Bar a bunch of times,
countless times. It's always a fun venue, and Foo Bar to me, I know it's gotten a lot of hate for they had a lot of break-ins like years ago. So gladly, that's all gone now. The sound has gotten really, really good. The atmosphere has gotten a lot better. The actual show, Thank You Scientists, is going to be in the Foo Bar Lounge. Which the stage has gotten bigger. It's not on the floor anymore. You know, it's up off the ground. It's got.
Wait, is that the left or right?
When you walk in, it's going to be right to your left. It is the smaller part of Foo Bar, but it gets packed in there a lot more easier. Because I've played shows, you know, to a bunch of people in the on the right side. And it doesn't feel as intimate as, you know, having playing even a smaller show on the left side. So at the end of the day, Foo Bar Lounge is awesome. I like Foo Bar. Rob Fancher, I believe, is the one that owns it. He's done a good job at keeping up and advancing the technology and advancing the stages every year, kind of a thing. The staff's always taken really good care of me, and hopefully it's going to be a really fun show to play with. I believe Paula's Daughter and Luxora is the other bands that are
Luxora.
Playing.
Luxora. It's us, Luxora, Paula's Daughter, and Thank You Scientists.
Yep.
I'm stoked to be playing with Paula's Daughter again. They're great.
Yeah, they're good friends of mine. They're a lot of fun. I never seen a show on the lounge side, I guess, on the left side there.
I played my very first show ever on the lounge side.
I was going to say, what was the name of the band?
It was a metalcore band. We don't talk about that band.
Yeah, Lyle had a little screamo face.
It was called Our Silent
Massacre. Yeah, that's right. Oh my god. But I played on the right side a couple years ago with All Night Diner, and that was cool.
Sure. Yeah, I've been in there with, like, had PE and a lot of these like crazy shows, and it gets like a big mosh pit in there, and the whole
they thing. Have some fun shows.
Yeah, see,
I saw The World Is a Beautiful Place, and I'm No Longer Afraid to Die with Dads and Pity Sex and stuff like that, and actually Bike Path from St. Louis, and they're awesome. Actually, they just came out with a full length album that's amazing, so go check that out. But yeah, that's a cool venue. I'm excited to play there now.
Yep, yeah. I believe I played with a band called The Word Alive there. I seen Icy Stars and Attila. I got knocked out at that show. I got kicked in the back of the head, and I got a concussion. That show was packed to the brim.
Dude, it's not a real show until you get like some injury.
Yeah, I got kicked in the back of the head twice. I was a small guy stuck in between two bigger people, and when they jumped, my feet didn't touch the floor. It was really cool. And I played with Miss May I there. The Miss May I show was a lot of fun. It was a Halloween show. All the bands, dressed up as. I'm pretty sure the bassist, the Miss May I, was just wearing a diaper.
If we ever play a Halloween show, I'm dressing up as Shrek. I got dibs on Shrek.
We're actually talking about doing a Halloween show, like a Halloween house show here at my house. A lot of people show up for that show, or for parties, anyways, but. Yeah, totally. We're thinking about doing a Halloween show here anyways, because we got a nice, a pretty decent basement, actually, practice
which
site.
You could easily make absolutely terrifying.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's what we did last Halloween party.
Horror,
yeah,
horror totally. Movies can be shot down there.
I have been shot down there.
I remember I was a film student. I shot a Halloween, or a horror movie down there.
Yeah.
But, if you went down there right now, there's for whatever reason, a bloody gorilla outfit. Like, someone was making, like, a Harambe fetish video or something.
I'm not joking. There's a bloody orangutan suit down there from a film that I made called The Murder of Evelyn Cross, which has like a killer orangutan in it, which is fucking cool. But we're super excited for what's coming up. But yeah, we're very excited for the Thank You Scientist show. Thank you, Mike Judy, for setting that
thank
up for
you,
us.
Thank you, Mike Judy.
Very much. Mike Judy's been cool to us always. He was cool to me in high school for Tomorrow Ever Comes. He was cool to Landon. He was cool to Lyle in the past.
Yeah, Mike's always been really, Mike's a really great good guy to me. Yeah. He's very business-oriented and very professional, and honestly, I'd say one of the better promoters in the area.
Yeah.
He's really gets down to business, but he can also be your friend. He always cracked some jokes for me and made me laugh when I needed it, so thanks, Mike.
Yeah, he's a very good guy. And like I said, very professional, and that's very important because you want to work with people who are professional.
Definitely.
And not always... I mean, like, of course you want to work with people who are, like, cool and, like, cracking jokes and stuff like that, but you got to have, like, a sense of professional values to it, and Mike is great at that. He comes consistent. We're very excited about
that. Do have a stack of tickets for that show, so if...
$12.
Anybody's listening and needs a ticket...
We got a lot of tickets. $12. You basically are getting four bands for $12. That's awesome.
$3 per band, I think. Is that right?
I think you're right.
That's an awesome value. 12, yes.
And
the price of entertainment.
Also, Thank You Scientist's new album is on Spotify right now. So if you go listen to that, you'll be blown away. I actually listened to it the other day. And I was super stoked because I'm a fan of Thank You Scientist. So I was, like, listening to the new album, and I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe we're playing with this band. This is unbelievable. Like, I'm so excited. I'm honored to play with this band. Like, they're awesome. You really owe it to yourself to just, pay the ticket price to see them. Like, they're just so cool. They're nice dudes. You know, they're a real band. The tour, they have a record label. They have a record deal and stuff like that. They're totally cool dudes. Like, honestly... That new album is unbelievable. Actually, if you go on Sputnik Music right now, I think it's got a 4.5 out of 5 right now. Reviews. Like, I know Sputnik might not be everybody's thing.
Goals.
But it's better than Pitchfork, honestly. And actually, our Something Blue EP has a 4 right now on there.
It does?
Yeah, based on people that we've just played the EP for.
I give our EP 8... Grapples.
nice Rick and Morty reference right there. But yeah, for real, check out the new Thank You Scientist record. It's really awesome.
Yeah.
And also check out, like, seriously, like, St.
Louis.
Ours. Yeah, check out our EP when it comes out. But, like, for real, St. Louis has, like, really awesome music, and also thank you very much to Shane and Rock Paper Podcast for giving, like, a platform to that, because, like, I've been friends with, like, New Lingo. We've been friends with City Parks and stuff like that. Like, and there's bands like Secondary, Bike
Path. We stole a member of City Parks for a while.
We totally did. Dan was our bass player for a while.
I love you, Dan.
Yeah.
But, like, New Lingo, City of Parks, Lobby Boxer, Secondary, Bike Path. Like, they're all, like, Life Without, all awesome bands. Like, seriously, you owe it to yourself to buy a ticket to just see St. Louis bands play live. Like, they're some of the best bands that you can get in the area, and a lot of people will never even know about them just because people don't buy tickets to see local bands. They're awesome.
Yeah.
They're such good bands.
Leave your house every once in a while and you might just see a little bit more.
Exactly.
Every band was a local band once.
Yep.
Exactly. You might get your new favorite record to go to the gym for. You might get your new favorite to just drive around to. You know, it doesn't matter.
Sure.
Yeah. Pokemon Go at FUBAR. Pokestop.
Is it really?
Yeah, there's a Pokestop.
Holy shit.
Well, there you go, guys.
$12, come get a Pikachu or
$12, you play Pokemon Go while you're seeing our band.
And
you don't even have to watch us play. Just pay $12 to get some good Pokemon.
In the ready room.
I went to this show. My friend's brother, Lee and the Leather Jackals, threw a big festival over the weekend over at Bootleg Atomic Cowboy.
Oh, I love Atomic Cowboy.
Yeah, great spot, great venue, really well put together. They had the outside stage going, the inside stage at the Bootleg, and then they also set up a little...
So wait, where's the inside stage at?
If you go through Atomic Cowboy, and you got the restaurant side there, and then just to the right.
Okay, because I haven't seen... I saw Whitey Morgan play at the outside storage, but I've never seen the inside storage.
Yeah, I mean, okay, they cool. like this big garage door they open up to, like, to where you can
cool.
go back and forth between the two.
And that's right next to, like, Tower Classic and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, the inside, the bootleg is, you know, really nice little stage in there. It used to be the old demo years ago, and then demo moved over where Ready Room was at, and then now demo is now closed up.
What's going there instead? Do you know?
Some kind of bottle shop of yep. some sort.
Is it what is it exactly?
Bottle shop?
I don't know.
Is it like a cap?
Something like that. Basically a bar, I guess.
It's cool, but it's a shame at the same time.
The first Traveler show, I guess, was actually at the demo. That was with Public.
Yeah. And, such a great
we
show.
We were some like newbies. I remember we can get in the green room, we can get in backstage, yeah. And
it was so excited.
We walked back there in the headlining band. They're really really nice guys, but they're like, "Why are you back here?"
Sure.
And we're just like, we could be back here, so we're going to be.
Yeah.
We just sat down. And they're like, "All right, we're gonna go outside."
True. they did help us bring our gear in though, which was very cool of them. I've never had like a headlining band help the little local guys out and bring their gear inside. So thank you, Public, for temporarily actually being our roadies.
But they were in demo is actually was it right next to the Ready Room? Is
yes.
That
yeah. Yeah. So there's the Ready Room, and then there's that little record store, and then there's the demo. Yeah.
Okay, because I've been to the record store and I've been to the Ready Room. I saw Circus Survive. Oh no, not Circus Survive. I saw Seosin at the demo when Anthony Green was touring with them, and I saw Run the Jewels at.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
At the Ready Room. It was actually the night of the Mike Brown decision, so that was crazy. And
Run the Jewels was there?
Yeah.
I assume Killer Mike had some words about
that. Oh, yeah. Him and LP had like a huge speech before the show. It was really like really cool to be there for. It was like a history in the making type thing. It was actually in like almost every. Like music press the next
that's
next
so
day
cool.
after, even like Pitchfork and stuff like that. So it was like cool to like be there for it. But yeah, that was cool. But that record store, I know you know the owners, right?
Well, they Music Record Shop sponsors the show, so
yeah, I love that record store.
It's a nice,
like I actually,
that's a cool record store.
Me and my buddies do a record or vinyl night every week, and I actually just went there and sold a bunch of records and got a bunch of records from there. And that record store is amazing. I love that record store.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, real nice place.
Them and Planet Score are my two favorite record stores in the entire city. But so yeah, check out Music Record Shop or whatever it's called. Yeah, that place is awesome. That place is so cool.
People need to start paying you for all the shout outs you're giving, man.
Well, I love that record store. That place is so cool.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you got some money to make.
The problem is like one of the hardest things is like metal records aren't easy to come by. But that place has like some really awesome like selection. That place is cool as hell.
Sure.
So
you're cool as hell.
What I was saying about that Brother Leaf show though was like it was making me laugh because they had the event set up and this guy Chris plays with Search Parties and he was taking pictures of the bands, but there was like Pokemon on the stage, I guess, or something like that. So like So you scroll through the event feed or whatever, and people it's just a bunch of pictures of him like snapping pictures of the band with all these little Pokemon on the stage next to him and stuff like that. And so it was pretty funny. I got a pretty good laugh out of it, but I don't really know much about the Pokemon Go.
I don't know if it was that show or if it was another one, but I actually saw recently, I think at a local show. There were people like actually getting on the stage to catch the Pokemon, like not watching the show, just on their phones, just catching Pokemon.
I actually saw pictures of that. Yeah,
and the band Issues, they have actually a Pokemon. You know, the whole set is based around Pokemon. All their amps are Pokemon. The drum set's a Pokeball. They their intro song, they do the theme of Pokemon. The whole band covers it. And somebody was taking a picture of the set one time, and a Pikachu popped up. I was like, aw, luck.
That's rad. Like, yeah, I just saw them. I saw them at Warped Tour the other day, and I saw them with All Time when they first got all their Pokemon stage set up, and yeah, it was rad. I don't really have anything else to say. Just Issues, if you're listening, I think your shit's rad.
Yeah, I don't know much about issues or
I don't either, to be honest.
Or all-time low or
I don't either. Except for their first EP, and that's
I know everything about all-time low, but it's kind of a guilty pleasure.
Lyle is probably the expert of all-time low.
Yeah, he calls them their his ultimate guilty pleasure.
Right. Yeah, I my personal taste lends more to blues and rock, and that's blues-driven rock. And
give me your like top five favorites of all time, like whether it be bands or favorite records of all time.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that.
It's like, just relative.
It changes on the daily. Like, I mean, just like literally. My whatever mood I'm in for the day, I could
do you like. Do you, in terms of blues, do you like the Muddy Waters, like New Orleans blues? Do you like the Texas blues?
Growing up, my parents played a lot of like, you know, Clapton and Allman Brothers and ZZ Top.
Yeah, of course.
So I liked a lot of that blues, southern rock like that. Like,
you know,
obviously, those guys were all influenced by. You know, Robert Johnson and Muddy Waters and all these guys. So like, there's a lot of that influence into that sound, and they made it their own.
Because that's like, how I learned how to play guitar. And,
yeah,
was through like Clapton, Allman Brothers, and Merle Haggard. A lot of the southern rock, and then like old classic like outlaw country music, like through Waylon Jennings and Merle Haggard and stuff like that, and Johnny Cash, which Landon's a huge fan of Johnny Cash.
Yeah. So. We were talking about Johnny Cash just earlier. We were like, you know, what if we
just broke into some Johnny Cash in the middle of a song?
We're playing our normal songs and just stop. We gotta play some Johnny Cash.
That's how I learned how to play them. Like, you know, playing that, and then a lot of the like 70s progressive rock music. You know, like Yes and Styx and Rush and stuff like that. That's how I learned how to play, because that's what all my parents played when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So yeah, totally. Is there like a huge like blues like country scene like around here? Other than like I know Off Broadway has like a lot of country artists.
Sure, yeah, Off Broadway does a lot with like the country Americana.
Because I've seen Dale Watson there a bunch of times, and Sturgill Simpson and Chris Stapleton back when he was smaller.
Yeah.
Played it Off Broadway, but
I saw Chris at Firebird the last time he rolled.
Oh, you were at that show? Yeah. I wanted to go to that show so bad.
Yeah,
was that awesome?
Oh yeah, it was a good time. But yeah, I mean, I knew going into that show that it would be the last time I'd see him in a small club.
Because like, he played at the Fox not that long ago.
Yeah, that was a couple months back.
Because
yeah.
he just won a bunch of Country Music Awards, which is actually amazing for country music because. I don't want to say anything bad, but country music is kind of a joke nowadays.
I'll say plenty of bad things.
Yeah. Country music is a fucking joke nowadays, and Chris Stapleton's playing real country music.
Right.
You've been cursing the whole show.
Have I? I don't even know anymore.
People have been cursing the whole show. But, yeah.
But as far as the blues scene around here, I mean, we named a hockey team after it.
Yeah, totally.
I'm a huge
hockey fan, so.
We got a great blues scene around between Beale on Broadway and BB's. I mean, those are two really great blues bars in town. Oyster Bar, just a block down the street, does a lot for local blues as well.
I've gone to the Crawfish Boils there, and they usually have a bunch of like awesome blues bands playing there. And then there's some cool jazz clubs around the area too, and like the St. Louis Jazz.
That's something like that. Get on board with.
Yeah, the jazz stuff.
Jazz at the Bistro.
Yeah. That place is cool as hell. I love that place. Also, their food's amazing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable food.
Yeah, you got locally blues, you got Marquise Knox, who's just really something to see. He's been doing it since he was like 14, and he's, he's still.
He's fun as hell.
Yeah. Jeremiah Johnson and.
Oh, totally.
You know, there's a lot of guys out there. Big Mike Aguirre.
And of course, you can like, catch Pokey Lafarge and stuff like that.
Yeah, Pokey.
Every now and then, he'll play at like Blue City Deli.
Sure. Yeah.
Which I mean, if you, this is such a horrible like shameless plug, but if you like good sandwiches, go to Blue City Deli, dude. Yeah. That place.
Every other thing you say is a shameless plug,
dude. I don't care. That place has great sandwiches. I don't care.
Really great blues. So I mean,
that place has amazing sandwiches.
You're saying shameless plug, but either way. Yeah, you know, be proud of your city. I mean, we got a lot of
there's a lot of awesome stuff in San Luis.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to offer. Like,
amazing restaurants, amazing venues.
And that's like you're saying before. There's a lot of people that just don't get out and they don't know about these places. So, So yeah, if you're listening to any of this and you haven't been to Blue City Deli or Be Along
or
Broadway,
like Nora's or Mom's Deli, yeah, or like go to the Jazz at the Bistro, right, like do yourself a favor and just like have a night out.
Sure. I mean, it wasn't all that long ago that I got around town a little bit, but like there was so much in this town that I, you know, hadn't experienced. I just went to like Crown Candy for the first time in a while.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Was,
oh,
Crown Candy's fun.
Oh, Crown Candy's the
stuff
best.
Like, so, I mean, there's a lot of things like that that are kind of like, you know, almost tourist attractions in town.
Right.
But it's like I've lived in,
there's nothing better than being a tourist in your hometown.
Sure.
Yeah, but you can totally do like home, like a lot of people do them, is just like home, like
staycations.
Yeah. Yeah, staycation. Yeah, exactly. And the thing about St. Louis is cool is too is like it's like a craft beer mecca too.
All right.
I mean, you got like Four Hands, you got Ferguson, you got
Urban
Heavy
Chestnut.
Riff, you got Urban Chestnut, yeah, you got Schlafly.
Right.
Like it's cool as hell.
Yeah. If you're a beer drinker, there's a lot to offer around town.
One of the breweries downtown, right on the riverfront, actually just had like a huge fried chicken festival.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever seen a social gathering that big in St. Louis. Like, I've been to Blues games, I've been to Cardinals games, and there's a lot of people.
I wasn't at that one.
But I went to the... I don't remember which one it was. I think it might have been Four Hands. Is Four Hands on the riverfront?
Four Hands is by Old Rock House. It's off 50, like, over...
I think
like
it was at Four Hands, and they had a fried chicken thing, and I didn't even know what was happening at first, and then I saw, like, the sign that said mm-hmm, fried chicken festival. But it was crazy, and that I've been conflicted for a while because I see like all this stuff we're talking about, like all this awesome stuff in St. Louis in our hometown, and I never see people doing it. And until recently, I'd say like in the last year, the amount of people I've seen like actually going out and doing all the cool stuff in St. Louis, coming to local shows, it's exploded in the last year, and I really hope that it keeps doing it. Because especially in the local music scene, whether you're in like the pop punk scene like we are, or you like blues or country, like there's nothing like going to see live music. And if you like the radio bands and you like, you know, the bigger bands that tour and stuff, you know, that's all good and well. I love those bands myself. But if you want to see music, then every single night around you there's live music by local musicians
every single night. Shows everywhere that are being played.
Yeah, sure.
And most people just don't even know about it. Right. And that's the coolest thing about St. Louis is that, like, we're not like other cities. You can totally see a different genre of music every single night.
You totally could.
Yeah, I mean,
you can see multiple genres in one night.
Yeah, exactly. You could totally, like, start an early evening and, like, just go throughout the night.
I mean, there's a lot of nights I hit two or three shows.
Yeah.
It's
just so much fun.
Somebody, I don't know what the exact fact is, but somebody was trying to tell me the other night that St. Louis has more music venues per capita than any other town in the country.
It.
So
I believe it.
So
yeah.
I mean, it's a great music scene here. Like, and we just need people to actually come out and support it.
That's the thing. Is like a lot of people complain about it, but then like.
You're the problem most of the time.
Yeah, like, the thing is, like, we have such a... I'm so proud of our city.
Right. Yeah.
Like, we have such great music here. We have such great culture here. And we have such great food. We have... Like, it's just a mecca of food.
Gotta throw the food in.
Sure.
Yeah, like, food is great. Like, I love food.
Yeah.
Food, beer,
culture. Dude, look at
culture,
pictures of me from a year ago.
Et
cetera.
Like
food.
It's just like... I'm so proud of this city. Like, this is a great city to live in.
Yeah,
this is a great city to start... in. Like, it's a great city to thrive in. And people don't... I feel like people take it for granted, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you know, being right here in the middle of the map as a local band like yourself and things, like, but I think it's a great town to tour out of, too, for music, so...
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's an easy place to shoot down to Nashville or Memphis,
yeah,
or Chicago. You go up to Chicago or Kansas City, or
yeah, totally.
You know, there's a lot of big cities surrounding us that we can easily make a day trip to. We can.
Without a doubt, we've got friends in Nashville. We got friends in Chicago.
Yeah.
We got friends in Kansas City. You
yeah,
know,
Atlanta.
Is that
Atlanta and stuff like that? We could do it. We just
sure
want to make sure.
My dad's actually moving down very
to
close to Ocala, Florida, where
so
they also have a very huge punk scene.
Yeah.
But that, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Ocala, their punk scene might be active, might be a little bigger, but at the same time, you're at the very corner of the country, you know? Like you said here, we got Chicago, Indianapolis, Kansas City, Nashville, all these places within hours. You could be there and back within 24 hours, you know?
Exactly.
If you wanted to do that out of Ocala, you'd have to make a 14-hour trip to Chicago or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, the furthest away, you can go to, like, Atlanta without making, like, 2 days out of it.
Yeah.
You know, here. But, like, at Ocala, it kind of opens up a whole new thing. You go to South Carolina, you go to North Carolina, you go to West Virginia, which apparently has a pretty decent...
Texas.
Really?
Yeah, Texas. Yeah, Texas, apparently. Well, of course...
Oh, Texas.
I would love to play in Austin. Like, honestly, even just to play at some of those honky-tonk clubs.
Well, the thing was, I played Austin, Texas, right off 6th Street back, I would say, in May. And every Friday, Saturday night, that whole street... is they block it off. It's $20 to $50 for parking every night.
That's nuts.
And I think us as musicians, we didn't get no parking spot next to the venue. We had to park actually like a mile away, and then we have a dolly. We had to carry everything all the way to the venue. It was. I don't think it was that fun. No. But and then afterwards, we got down there. We played. There was Voodoo Donuts. I'm pretty sure. I think
is that like the brand, or do they have donuts that do voodoo?
It's a Voodoo Donuts is like a they put like crazy things on your donuts, more like,
so it's like strange donuts. Cool. But I like down
Texas. Yeah, it's like Captain Crunch and like stuff like that. But 6th Street in Austin, Texas was crazy. It was popping. I mean, there was so many people on there. You would think it was a festival going on, but it's just Friday night.
See, that's the cool thing about Austin, Texas, is they're so open to different kinds of music.
Oh yeah,
they have real country music down there. They have like rock and roll, blues, punk, kinds of stuff. And even like in Nashville, like my brother and my dad, like when my little brother was doing like visits for football and stuff like that, they were in Nashville because my dad went to Vanderbilt and stuff like that. Apparently, like, the Black Keys closed down a bar that my dad and my brother were at like an hour before, like totally closed down. It was secret for the Little Black Submarines video. Like an That's hour cool. after my brother and my dad were there. Yeah. Didn't even know.
Oh, wow.
Didn't even know. And like just that kind of stuff happens like all the time at like Austin and like Nashville and stuff like that.
Stone Cold Steve Austin's down there.
Dude,
beer,
oh my god.
Beer, and more beer.
I was going to say, I could drink so much Lone Star down there. It's ridiculous.
Alright, guys. Well, I guess we'll look to wrap this thing up here. So you can follow these guys, Traveler, on Facebook.
Yep, Twitter. Traveler STL on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah. So and get then out. You just look for us on Facebook.
Yep, we are all very welcome people. We like talking to new people. Don't hesitate to give any of us a message or
I need friends, so please.
Yeah, we're super open to talking to anybody. Like, really, we're so optimistic.
If you couldn't tell, we basically just hijacked this whole podcast
just to talk about how much we love things and like people and stuff like that. Just talk to us. Like, we love talking to people. Like,
I love you,
people.
And then mark it on your calendar, August 10th.
August 10th. Yeah, Something Blue comes out, and also we got the new single coming out, Disappear Here, from. Something Blue, and then also we got Top of the World coming out on this podcast from the Redux EP, and then we'll
that's
be
on the 27th.
Yeah, on the 27th.
I think.
24th.
And then whichever Wednesdays are around.
We'll be playing a bunch of shows and stuff like that, and just having fun.
Sure.
Come out and have fun with us. Like, that's all we're about. Like, just come have fun with us. We want to have a fun, like, awesome time with all you guys.
Yeah. Well. Good time to or a good show to come have some fun with you guys. It would be September 27th at Foo Bar.
Yeah, definitely with Thank You Scientist.
Thank You Scientist.
And Paula's Daughter.
Paula's Daughter.
With some awesome local bands. If you haven't checked them out, totally check them out. They're awesome. Like, and if they have some shows coming up leading up to that, totally go see them.
Yeah.
Like, they're awesome.
For sure. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, it's been a lot of fun.
Yes,
yeah,
it has.
It's been awesome.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for having this like platform for local artists.
Yeah, man.
Like, really,
this
is awesome.
Just like you guys were saying about the music and stuff, I mean, I'm the same way. I love local scene we have here. And I believe in the talent. I believe in the people. And they're just all friends of mine. And so I'm trying to do my part to let everybody else know that there's a lot of cool stuff going on in town. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and we're so happy that you are into that and stuff like that.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, if anybody's listening to your episode and hasn't checked out, there's plenty more. So there's like over 250 something episodes on here, so you can go discover your next favorite band after listening to this one. So, well, thanks guys, and I'll see you soon at Foo Bar.
Woo!
Sure.
Yeah.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.